Pope Benedict XVI celebrated a special Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on Thursday, marking the fourth anniversary of the death of his predecessor, John Paul II, who died on the evening of April 2, 2005. Among those taking part in the Mass were a crowd of young people from the Rome Diocese, preparing to celebrate World Youth Day on this Palm Sunday, an event which will include a symbolic handing over of the World Youth Day cross and icon from Sydney, Australia, to Madrid, where the next major international youth gathering will be held in 2011.
I think John Paul II had a vision, and he could really see that youth draw so much strength from being together.
Australian Annalise Wursthorn is currently studying in Rome at the Emmanuel School of Mission. But last year, she spent 6 months travelling around Australia with the World Youth Day cross and icon ahead of the July celebrations in Sydney. She came into our studios this week to reflect on the legacy of Pope John Paul II, especially to young Catholics all over the world.
Yeah, John Paul II was such a special pope, especially for young people. And as the founder of World Youth Day, I mean, for me, he was very special. I guess my lasting memories I have of him, I had a very special experience in 2004. I was in Rome for a youth forum. It was actually Palm Sunday, and I don't know why, but for some reason I was asked if I would like to receive communion from him. So, of course, I did. And so that Mass was very special. I remember walking up the aisle to receive communion from him and kneeling down and looking into his eyes. And I really was so overcome because I felt like I was looking into Christ's eyes and that he was looking right into my soul. And I thought, I mean, at the time I didn't really wasn't able to think about what was going on. It was just a very special spiritual moment for me. But I think as I reflected on it in the last few years, I've really come to realize that it was through his holiness he gave himself so much to God's will and to what he was asked to do, that he was even able to give his eyes to Christ, and Christ was able to look at people through his eyes. And he just had this love, and I really felt like he knew me. And I know that's ridiculous because he doesn't know me, but I felt like he could see right into my soul. And I think that was just a testimony to how holy he was and how in tune with Christ he was.
Despite the fact that at this point he was really quite elderly, really struggling with his illnesses.
Yes, and his frailty really struck me too, because I think there's a tendency of all of us with other famous people too, not just the Pope, but to really imagine them as superhuman or some strong other person. But I was so struck by his humanness. Just, I remember looking at him thinking, he's just an old man. And that really, not in a bad sense, but in the sense of he is a normal person, and this is what he's done with his life. And that we are really called, we're all normal too, and I know I'm normal, but I'm really called to try and live something amazing, because that's what God's plan is for me and for all of us.
He had a very special charisma with young people, didn't he? What do you think that was due to?
I really don't know. There's some amazing footage of him dancing with young people, and I guess because of my age, I wasn't able to see him in the prime of his life. And so I do rely on other people's testimony and on some older videos. And I love this is a specific one that I really love, where he's walking past a crowd of young people and he just puts his cape over the top of them. And it looks so mischievous. And he just had a real special love for the young people. And I think he really believed in us. And that's what came through when he gave us the World Youth Day Cross. He could really see that the young people were not this wayward generation, that nothing could be done. He really saw that we were full of life, full of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that we were able to and really called to embrace this faith. And I think by doing that, he really empowered young people to really take on responsibility and to say, yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm going to do something about it. And it's not a church for older people. It's a church for me, and it's my church, and it's a church for people of all ages.
And we saw those extraordinary scenes of while he was dying and then at his funeral, of again a crowd of every nation and every age group, but especially of young people.
Dominican Bishop Anthony Fisher is an auxiliary in the Diocese of Sydney, and as the youngest Australian church leader, he was charged with coordinating World Youth Day 2008. He also reflects for us now on the lasting impact of the previous Pope on the so-called John Paul II generation.
I think undoubtedly he will be remembered as a Pope for youth, as well as many other things. He was a wonderful teacher and communicator, a great actor on the world stage, a great fighter for causes such as life in the womb and the family and justice for the third world. But certainly his love for young people, the images that we see it on our imaginations and memories of him dancing with young people at World Youth Days, of making faces, making the shape of glasses or binoculars at the young people and so on, these are things we'd never seen before in popes, this very natural and immediate connection he had with young people and they had with him, and that remarkably survived even when he became very frail and very sick. Young people then sort of adopted him as their sick grandfather. It wasn't that they hid from him or lost interest because he was no longer able to dance with them. They walked with him, and we saw those extraordinary scenes of while he was dying and then at his funeral, of again a crowd of every nation and every age group, but especially of young people who really regarded him as their Pope. Now, of course, for many of them, he's the only Pope they ever knew. They were too young to have known John Paul I or Paul VI or anyone before. Now there are young people growing up for whom John Paul will be history and who've only known Benedict. And so there's people talk of the B16 generation, just as people spoke before of the John Paul II generation. But certainly that John Paul II generation now are emerging in roles of leadership and service in the church and in the wider community, and they carry with them, I think, a very particular stamp of his pontificate, his enthusiasm for the sorts of causes I've mentioned, that those young people, now not so young as they become young adults and eventually middle-aged, carry some of those ideals with them. A particular memory I have of one time I met him, though I'm a Sydney boy and now I'm back in Sydney as a bishop, at that time I was working in Melbourne, and I was introduced to him then as not as a bishop, just as a priest. And the group that introduced me said, "Oh, this is Father Anthony Fisher, he's from Melbourne, Australia." And John Paul looked at them and very mischievously said, "Oh, Melbourne, I remember Sydney." And of course, he knew very well of this traditional rivalry between the two big cities in Australia. And to say this to Melbourneers would be a cause of perhaps some annoyance and certainly amusement. But he was teasing us. And likewise, years later, when I was a bishop, I met him towards the very end of his life. And he said to me, he knew I was a religious, I was a Dominican. He said, "How many young new religious are there in Australia now?" And I said, "Very few." And he said, "And how many kangaroos?" And I thought this was a very strange question. I wondered if maybe his medication was affecting him or why his mind was wandering. And I said, "Well, as I understood, there were about 80 million kangaroos, about, I think, 4 kangaroos for every one person in Australia." And he said, "Ah, yes. I want as many new young religious as there are new kangaroos." That set me quite a goal for the years ahead in Australia.
Thanks there to Dominican Bishop Anthony Fisher, Auxiliary in the Diocese of Sydney. And earlier you heard Australian Annalise Wursthorn, currently studying at the Emmanuel School of Mission here in Rome. Thank you.